Hey, Geekscapists, welcome to a brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London. If this is your first Geekscape, strap yourselves in. We're going to be talking movies, video games, comics, pop culture. That's pretty much what we've been doing for the last 13 years. So if this is your first Geekscape, welcome. If this is your, 600th Geekscape, including specials, welcome back. Yeah, I think you're awesome. I think you're awesome if you're a first-timer, or I think you're awesome if you're an old-timer, because the point is, you're here. So it's just me today on the podcast. I want to do a little bit of a State of the Union episode. I do that every now and then. But if you want to hear me with a guest, maybe go back and listen to Marie Jamora on the last episode talking about the Philippines and growing up in the Philippines and like how her uncle would smuggle VHS tapes wrapped in tinfoil into the Philippines so that she could watch American movies growing up. And if you want to listen to a special with Ian Kerner, go back and listen to the Captain Marvel special or maybe the one about Into the Spider-Verse or Aquaman. Whenever there's a big release in the pop culture world, mainly like a Marvel movie or a big popcorn movie, we're going to have one coming up here next week for Shazam. I like to sit down with Ian and talk about the ins and outs of it because Ian is such an encyclopedia of comic book knowledge. And, of course, he's got some wonderful opinions. So if you want a different kind of Geekscape, go back and listen to one of those. I just like that you guys are listening to Geekscape. So thank you for choosing us on your drive or at your desk. Or maybe you're like my friend Kevin Netsley and you listen to Geekscape as you're laying down to sleep. And I'm the last thing that you hear. So let's get going. I just wanted to talk a bit about what's been going on recently, both personally, professionally, and socially here at Geekscape. Mainly, I went to WonderCon this past weekend. I experienced WonderCon. And we do not have a booth. We have not had a WonderCon booth in years. Not like San Diego. San Diego, we have the booth again this summer. We've had the booth for the last 10 years at San Diego. But San Diego is like the spring break for geeks. It's the geek spring break, and it's really an event. And it's really worth doing the inventory on the shirts and packing up and driving everything down there and doing a couple extra days. And it's a lot of work, and it is the most exhausted I'll be the entire year. But it's worth it. I get to catch up with Matt Kelly and Derek and the rest of the Geekscapists. I get to meet a lot of you guys. And as far as a filmmaker goes, as far as being a filmmaker, it's fantastic real estate. And I don't know if you guys know how Comic-Con works, but Comic-Con was the first thing I signed up for after getting the Geekscape.net URL. When I decided I was going to start a podcast called Geekscape, I said, I'm going to get the URL. It's going to be a network. Which we are. We are a Geekscape network. It took a couple years, but we're there. And I'm going to get a booth at Comic-Con. It took 4 years to get a booth at Comic-Con. That was the wait list back in late 2006. And in 2010, we got our booth. So if you're counting the years, 2010, 2009, this will be our 10th year, our 10th summer. As exhibitors at Comic-Con. And the difference between Comic-Con in San Diego and Comic-Con in Anaheim is WonderCon's a little bit smaller, and the floor is smaller. It's less of an event. Big companies like Marvel or the various TV studios and film studios don't really go down to WonderCon and do anything more than hold panels and promote. But they don't really have presences on the floor. So you do get a lot of indie dealers, you get a lot of indie publishers, and they're cool. And I loved walking around and seeing some of the artists that were doing the art there. And there were some really cool writers and artists there. We had like Scott Snyder from DC and Tom King. They're known for writing the Batman books the last couple of years. And seeing names like that, you don't get much bigger in comic books. And I know that X-Men Dark Phoenix had a panel in the big arena, which I'd never been in until this past weekend. So you do get like the biggest of the Hollywood talent as well. It's just for me, I live in Los Angeles. I'm probably not going to get a hotel in Anaheim. I'm probably going to make the 1 hour drive in the morning and back each night. And after you're running a booth and you're hanging out at the Hilton for a little bit afterwards to catch up with old friends, that drive becomes a monster. And I was not, I just could not justify it when the attendance at WonderCon just isn't, it's just not the event that San Diego Comic-Con is. So a lot of people ask me, hey man, where's your booth? WonderCon weekend is always, hey man, where's your booth? I get texts or Facebook messages. And I just have to keep saying, we don't have a booth at WonderCon anymore. If it, when it was in San Francisco, we exhibited for 1 year and it was great. We drove up and had a hotel, and it was very much like the San Diego experience. It was a destination. It was a lot of fun. The other thing I wondered, I witnessed this past weekend at WonderCon, and I only went for a day. I only went Friday, which was the smallest of the 3 days, was this con fatigue that was going on with a lot of the creators. They went from, let's see, I think the first one was Emerald City Comic Con in Seattle. Then they had C2E2 in Chicago. I could be switching those. One could, I mean, for two straight weeks, they had Emerald City and C2E2. And then they have WonderCon. So a lot of those creators were working on the third straight weekend of being in a convention, probably not in a city that they live in. And the fatigue was just everywhere. There were a lot of creators that I was talking to or just catching up with who were exclaiming that this was the third weekend in a row that they were at a convention. Mainly my friend Dan, who runs the booth for Skybound, who does Walking Dead and Saga. No, that's Image, not necessarily Skybound, but they do sell Saga stuff at that booth. I think for WonderCon, it's not the giant monstrosity that we have in San Diego. It's just this, it's kind of a smaller booth, and it shares Image and Skybound together. But Dan is there at the booth, and he's like, he just, poor guy looked like death. He and his girlfriend Alana are there, and I like talking to them. So yeah, it was a marathon for a lot of those people. And I went down Friday because I was on a panel for our friends at Fanbase Press. Our friend Bryant Dillon invited me onto a panel. With, he's a former Geekscape guest. Another former Geekscape guest, Hannibal Tabu, was on the panel. And Bryant's wife, Barbara, who runs Fanbase Press with him. And our new friend, Justin, he was on a panel with us. And the panel was about the 10th anniversary of Zack Snyder's Watchmen. And I know that Bryant recorded it. They have a Fanbase Press podcast that is going to put the episode out. I totally recommend that you guys listen to it. It was a fantastic conversation about Zack Snyder's Watchmen, because I'm not a huge fan of Watchmen, the comic book series that is legendary, but I was young when it came out, and I think that my appreciation of Watchmen is a lot like my younger friends' appreciations of Nirvana. They're like, oh, well, yeah, I grew up with Nirvana, and they kind of existed. They didn't really see the watershed of Nirvana showing up, where it was all hair metal bands and, like, New Kids on the Block for years. And then within a week, Nirvana showed up and just cleaned it all out. And suddenly you started having alternative rock and all that stuff. I mean, it's just a real watershed. And I think that Watchmen is like that as well, where you just had, I mean, it's less than 20 years removed from Adam West's Batman and how poppy and campy and goofy that stuff is. And then, like, almost 15 years later, a little over 15 years later, you end up with Watchmen, which is just unflinchingly grim and mature, and the movie, I would say, is more so. The movie is kind of like got its own thing going on, and I watched it again, and it's just really unrelenting and dark, and it's very grim. But I like the movie, and I appreciate a lot of the movie. So we had a pretty lively discussion there in San Diego. We don't do San Diego. Oh, I don't drive down for San Diego. I stay in San Diego. But I had a pretty good conversation with everybody, and I will definitely share when that podcast is up. So be a part of Geekscape on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and you'll listen. You'll be there when that episode hits. It took me 2 hours to get down there. Yet another reason I do not do a booth at Anaheim was I left at like noon. I tried to avoid the morning traffic. I tried to avoid the evening traffic from Los Angeles to Anaheim, which is less than 60 miles away, and it still took me 2 hours to get down there on a Friday. And I imagine Saturday and Sunday was worse because there's beach traffic everywhere. We do live on the coast, and that just happens. Once I got down there, though, I got to tell you, I got kind of depressed. I'm laughing now, but I was profoundly depressed wandering around WonderCon, and not just because it was a pretty thin day for WonderCon, definitely the lightest of the three. I've been thinking about where, like, my place is in all this as a creator and as a podcaster, because I'm kind of in between those worlds of, or involved in both, maybe firmly involved in both, where I'm creating the content. Like, we just came off of the Chasing Fletcher Allen, and that'll be out. Heidi likes to call it a short film. I like to call it a TV pilot. What it is it's 22 minutes of really fun content that I think you guys can see how stories can sprout out of it, how it can be self-contained. Either way, we made it for you guys, and she's just really good in it, and it's her story, and I'm really, really, really honored that she had faith in me directing it and co-writing it with her, because I think we made something really, really good, and I can't wait to share it with you guys. That being said, I have a lot of deadlines this past weekend, so I knew I couldn't go on Saturday and Sunday because I also am trying to get my screenplays out there. And the one I'm working on right now is actually really, really personal, and it deals with some of the changes I've gone through the last several years and how I'm kind of giving birth to this new person, right? I was married, and I was dealing with a lot. And it's funny enough, I've been thinking a lot about Watchmen and Dr. Manhattan, and how Dr. Manhattan, when John has the accident that like obliterates him, like he gets atomized, and then like a Swiss watch, he has to put himself back together with all these different pieces. And over the course of, like, I think in the comic and in the movie, it was like a couple months, he starts to reconstitute himself atom by atom back into what turns out to be Dr. Manhattan, who has this amazing power over atoms and matter, and he can obliterate things or create things however he sees fit. He can multiply himself. He just has almost an infinite power. But I thought about the sequences of John reconstituting himself as Dr. Manhattan. And obviously when John gets on the other end of it, he's Dr. Manhattan, who is an observer in life, because he's almost infinitely powerful. So he sees the day-to-day, and the emotion of being a human is almost unnecessary, is almost an inconvenience, right? And me, I am so much more emotional than I've ever been, but I'm vacillating between just super highs and then these lows. And the lows aren't anything dangerous. The lows are just something that I have to weather. And you guys who are friends with me on Facebook will see some of the things that I post from meditation and therapy, et cetera. And I like sharing those things with you. But walking around WonderCon, I just started wondering, like, what is my place in this? Right, I don't really want to consume a lot of this stuff anymore. And I still enjoy the superhero movies, and I still enjoy comics, and I still enjoy pop culture a lot. And I think that it's a very powerful tool for commenting on our own existence. And I think it's a great prism through which to see what we're doing as people. I really think that what we're celebrating here is a modern mythology, and I like to celebrate it a lot on our show, because I think that we belong together, and I think that we need to have some level of culture that promotes being good and promotes positivity and promotes cultural responsibility and social responsibility. And I think that with Geekscape, the whole idea of, like, don't hate, create, is let's be accountable to each other and let's be nice and be there and be a community. And so I think the idea of community is really important to me. And being at WonderCon, I didn't know where I fit in it, because you just have the fans and the creators. And I really was like, is this still my bag? It was a lot to take on, and it kind of bummed me out. And I saw another Geekscape guest, Oliver Ridge. He's a filmmaker and comic book creator. And he was walking around, and he was kind of like, yeah, I don't really get this con right now. And I turned a corner, and there's Phil Lamar, who is a former Geekscape guest, who's Fletcher Allen in Chasing Fletcher Allen. I said hi to Phil. And so it was good seeing everybody. It was good getting out of my room and getting down to Anaheim and wandering around the con. I feel like I'm almost complaining about cotton candy, because why are you complaining about something that's good? But I don't think I'm complaining as much as just trying to navigate what we're doing. I mean, I'm 40 now. I have the increased health insurance rate to prove it. And I'm not saying that you have to let go of childish things, although the Jesus activist outside on the corner yelling at people who were going into WonderCon definitely was yelling that we're a bunch of sinners. But I think that I have to navigate like how much I'm taking in and how much I'm putting out, because I've just been putting out a lot. I've been writing a lot, and I really, really love it. And it's making me so happy, and it's been so cathartic that I turn around and I'm like, oh, wait, I'm going to take in other people's stories. They kind of make me less excited. Not that I won't be seeing Shazam right away, because I am looking forward to it. Just that it seemed like walking around WonderCon, it was a lot, and it felt like noise. Not to disrespect any of the creators there, but... And I don't think that their stuff is unimportant. I think their stuff is very important, but it's very important to them. And I'm kind of in a place, where, again, where I'm reconstituting myself and just kind of weighing what's important to me right now. As I get older and we continue to do Geekscape, and Geekscape 100% forever, we're fucking doing that. Don't even think about unsubscribing. You're getting Geekscapes until the day I die. But it felt like noise to me, because it wasn't mine. It wasn't my stuff. It wasn't speaking to me. And a lot of the stuff wasn't speaking to me. So I was kind of bummed out. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, I've got a couple hours before the panel I have to do. And I'm looking forward to the panel. And maybe I'll go back to where I'd park my car and I'll get out my laptop and I'll work a little bit more on the screenplays that were due on Saturday and Sunday. And as I'm walking outside to go to my car, I sit down for a little bit just to kind of go through the program, because I said, you know what? You're here. You can always write tomorrow. You've scheduled to write tomorrow. You're here right now. Maybe there's something in the program that you're going to want to check out. So I'm sitting there outside of the convention center, and I got to tell you that the cosplay was crazy. If you're not following Geekscape Forever on Instagram, I sent a lot of cool cosplay photos to Michaela, who's our... I'm just going to call her our social media coordinator. And she's been posting a lot of cool cosplay from WonderCon and from Emerald City. So if you're into seeing a lot of that cool stuff, definitely go and subscribe to Geekscape Forever on Instagram. And I'm hanging out, kind of being quiet by myself on this little bench. And I go through the program and I see that there's a Tolkien panel happening in the arena. I don't know if you know this, but Nicholas Holt is playing Tolkien, creator of Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, in a biopic that's being put out May 10th by Fox Searchlight. And I saw that there was a panel on that stuff coming up. And I, guys, The Hobbit changed my freaking life. It just did. I was it was like the fourth grade, and my parents got divorced, and I didn't know what the hell was happening. And my life was upended. My little life and my little hobbit hole was upended. And my father and I was getting in the car to do a trip with my mom to Mexico. It was the first time my dad wasn't driving us to Mexico to visit grandparents. My father gave me a copy of The Hobbit. Oh my God. Life-changing. You know, to have somebody who felt so powerless, like their entire world was just being challenged, and then suddenly read the story about this, how the smallest among us can do the greatest. I think just the message that we are all capable of the greatest things in this, you know, and sometimes they come in the smallest packages, just really was empowering to me. And so I was like, I'm going to watch the Tolkien panel, and it starts in about 40 minutes. So I'm just going to chill here for a little bit. And I got myself a coffee and I sat down. Next to me, a kid who was sitting in another bench, I think was feeling crowded by other people. There was a lot of cosplayers out there. And this young kid, he was probably in high school. That'll tell you how old I am. And he shuffles over and he sits on my bench. He sits over here and he's playing a Switch. And I can't help myself. If I see somebody playing a Switch, I have to ask them, what are you playing? Then I realize the kid is special needs. Not Down syndrome, but definitely had a pretty intense form of autism. It wasn't looking me in the eye, but he was like, I'm playing Pokemon. Let's go Pikachu. And he's playing it. And, oh my God, what a sweet kid. And you guys who played through Pokemon, Red and Yellow and Blue and Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee know that, you know, the SS whatever that ship is, the cruise ship. I said, how far are you in the game? And he said, I've beaten two gyms. And he was on the SS, whatever it is, the SS Minnow, whatever it is. I think those were Gilligan's Island. and he's walking around that cruise ship, and he doesn't know where the final boss is. And he said, do you think you can help me? And this kid, man, it was tough. I mean, he had it. He had like a pretty severe autism, and so I couldn't always tell if he was talking to me, if he was talking to himself. It was very Rain Man like, and I was like, well, let me take a look. And I look over his shoulder, and I tell him, oh, the boss is in the, I think the lower right map corner of that ship. And he gets to the boss, and he'd already beaten the boss. And I said, wait. He says, what do I do next? And I said, oh, you have to get off the ship. And just to warn you, though, when you get off the ship, you should go through every room and check, because once you get off the ship pulls away. I don't know, for you guys who've played Pokemon, the ship goes away. So I said, just make sure you've cleared out everything on the ship, because, man, there's nothing worse in an RPG than clearing a dungeon and not being able to go back in there. So... you know, suffering is just this excessive focus on self. And I was depressed, and I was thinking, where's my place and all this? And it just really, really reaffirmed me talking to that kid that maybe his high school life just stinks. I mean, he is working through with something that, you know, whether or not he's aware of it, is a social challenge to him. He seemed perfectly happy. And then we started talking about Pokemon Sword and Shield and how it's set in England. And he's like, maybe Queen Elizabeth will be in the game. And I said, maybe, you know, they'll have Stonehenge or something cool in the game that's British. And he's like, Stonehenge has been in the game. And I was like, corrected. This kid knew his Pokemon. But just that experience cheered me up. And I just kept thinking, you know what? Like, maybe his family has had a rough time with dealing with a kid with a disability, and here you are in your perfect health. You're old, but you're perfect health, and you're in, like, let's just kind of be present, and let's just remember that this isn't about you. This is about community, and things don't always speak to you, but that doesn't mean you can't listen. And then I went to the Tolkien panel, and I watched a couple clips, and I'm looking forward to the movie, because again, it was super influential for me, reading The Hobbit and then going into The Lord of the Rings, and really was a major building block. That and like the X-Men comics were like the major building blocks of where we are today with Geekscape. This just doesn't exist without that stuff. And it felt pretty good. And I went and I did that panel afterwards, and I love talking to Bryant and Barbara and Hannibal, and Justin was fantastic. And we had a really good panel. And I really, if you guys are at all interested in us discussing Watchmen and the Watchmen 10th anniversary and how DC and Warner Brothers are treating the Watchmen franchise, and obviously we have this upcoming Watchmen show on HBO, then definitely look out for that panel. So I did not hang out a whole lot afterwards. And usually there's a lot of hanging out after a convention before everybody heads back. And I've just kind of wanted to stay quiet. I'm getting a lot of social anxiety, folks. I know it's weird for somebody as social as me, but you know what? I'm having a tough time. We had a wrap party for Chasing Fletcher Allen on Thursday night, and I used the excuse that I was hanging at the door to like let people in, just because even though I had worked with all these people and I love these people, it was a lot of people. and I'm still kind of going through therapy, and I'm still kind of working through a lot of the things that I've been working through. And I mean, I won't lie. My ex-wife, has been reaching out to me and wanting to reconnect, and I'm having a very tough time with that. I don't want to talk a lot about it, but I will be lying if it says it doesn't fuck me up when I get a phone call that goes to a voicemail or something that just sounds cheerful and nice and all this stuff that I won't lie to you. I wanted that for years, and I wanted a lot of that, but people aren't constant, and not everyone is happy all the time. But seeing the windows of that stuff really hurt, and just it fucking mind fucks you. And I was in my storage unit 2 weeks ago getting Geekscape shirts to mail to you guys, and I'm there with my buddy Guy, who directed the movie we co-wrote in Brazil, and he's one of my closest friends, and we share the storage unit, and I'm in there just trying to get the shirts, but also I got to clear some stuff out of that storage unit, and I find all these old letters, and they're happy, and hey, and they're the letters you would send in a relationship, and I just turned to Guy and I said, man, like, I didn't fuck up my life, did I? I did the right thing, and in dissolving my marriage, and I just, oh my God, guys, what a mind fuck. I mean, I don't like throwing that stuff out because that was my life. And you can go through my Instagram or my Facebook or whatever right now, and you can see those photos of those relationships and the relationships I've had with people who've moved on. Earlier last week, my friend Matt Seiner died of freaking colon cancer. He was 33 years old. He died last weekend. And he wasn't supposed to freaking die. He's from our workout group. And what 30-year-old gets checked for colon cancer? And by the time he got it, knew he had it, it's stage 4, and he's gone. So I had a pretty bad week. Then I have to go talk about Watchmen. It's just such a mess, right? And I'm just trying to navigate all this stuff. And don't worry, we're going to talk about how I went to see Us and I saw Dumbo and how I'm very much looking forward to Shazam. But wow, I just have to talk to you guys because that was just a cluster F of constant weaving and bobbing through stuff coming at me. On top of that, like, I'm a professor and we had finals last week and I had a lot of work on top of trying to deliver these screenplays, one of which is about my freaking life the last couple of years. It's been a lot. It's been a lot. So I come home. It is almost midnight by the time I get home. And I got to tell you guys, I've never heard from this Geekscapist before, but I'm doing the thing right before bed where you check your Instagram, you check your social medias before you put your bed away. And I get this message from someone, you know, in like Instagram where you have the messages from people that you follow and follow back. But then there's like those messages that are usually spam that are like that you have to accept or decline. That's like, hey, do you want to accept this? And I see this message is like in there. So I'm like, all right, let me clean these out. And I click on it. And there's one in there that is from a Geekscapist. And I am not going to say their name, but this is what I read. You ready for this? This is after the woe is me day where I'm just kind of trying to figure out where my brain is at. Here it is. Hi, Jonathan. I've been following your podcast since I was in year 7 and felt like an outcast. Geekscape gave me something to look forward to and made me realize that I wasn't weird. LOL. As I got older, I forgot about Geekscape and became busy with uni and life, but I always wore the blue Geekscape shirt that I got online when you put them up for sale. Haha. No judgment. You can forget about Geekscape. It's fine. When life got shit, I searched your podcast thinking I might have it might have been canceled, and I'm so glad it wasn't. The podcast on Stan was the first that popped up. I'm glad it did. At the time, I felt stuck in a relationship, but I couldn't understand why something didn't feel right and why I was holding on to it. What you said about wanting the stability in life and finding a relationship to provide that for me made so much sense to me. Your podcasts have been getting me through this hard time of separation, and I just wanted to thank you for that. I do not know this person from Adam. I've never met this person, but they wrote me this message about how me talking about missing Stan and going through my divorce and separation and all that, it helped them through theirs. And I got to tell you guys, Geekscape forever. This is what this is about. someone asked me over the weekend, what, maybe at WonderCon, what Geekscape was. What's the podcast? Why is the podcast different? And I got to tell you, I have a new slogan. Real talk first, geek talk second. I don't want Geekscape to just be the place that you go to find out what Jonathan thought about that piece of entertainment. You guys know this. I've said this before. I think that stuff is disposable. It's not evergreen. I think that it's all over the internet. And maybe it wasn't when we started, but it is now. And it's a lot of noise. And I really appreciate you guys respect my opinion on a lot of this stuff that we're consuming. And I love disagreeing with you guys sometimes. And I love having the conversation. But it's not what makes us up. It's not what's real. In 5 years, none of this stuff is going to matter. We'll be in a different place, but our relationship hopefully will still be there. Reading this message just freaking rocked me. It was awesome. It's exactly what I wanted to read. It clarified so much, and I just have to say thank you to this person who will not be named for saying that. You have no idea how much I needed that, and it's clear that that my rambling here on Geekscape is something that you needed at the moment. And you know what? Here's the promise. Geekscape forever. As long as you listen, I'm going to be saying this. I'm going to be doing this. I'm going to be bringing on guests. I've got some cool guests lined up. I've got a guest from the new Hellboy movie coming up next week. Next week, you guys get two podcasts. You get someone from the new Hellboy movie. And don't worry, like, you guys are going to dig it. The horror movie night kids are definitely going to dig it. You get a new guest, and you get the Shazam special with Ian. So you got some cool Geekscape coming up. And then you know that, like, towards the end of the month, we got freaking Endgame coming. Avengers Endgame's coming out. And then we're just rolling into May, and we're just getting hit all the way through summer, all this pop culture stuff. And then I'm going to see you guys in San Diego. I got to tell you, I went with my producer, George, Geekscape partner, George. Hung out with them a little earlier today, and we have these hats that we have made. They're kind of weird hats. I don't know yet if I love the hats, but I've always wanted Geekscape hats. But I've been trying to find a price point where the Geekscape hats are worth it for you guys to get Geekscape hats. I don't want to sell you guys $50 Geekscape hats. I'd like to sell you guys maybe $20 to $30 Geekscape hats. Same thing with the hoodies. But if we're making them in such a small quantity, sometimes the price has to go up. I'm trying to figure it out, guys. He has these friends who have this, what is the name of this stuff? I'm going to share it because I think it's, I don't know if it's cool or not cool, but let me take a look. He sent it to me on Instagram. I want to give them a shout out because they did make us some cool prototype Geekscape hats. And what's crazy about these hats is, like, they have Velcro on the front. They're called Badge M Official. And what they do is they make these hats, and the hats have like Velcro on the front. We had these Geekscape trucker hats made, and then you take the Velcro and you can put like Nintendo patches on it, or movie patches like Spider-Man, comic book stuff, whatever your pop culture thing is, whatever you want the hat to have a symbol of or a picture of. Maybe it's Angry Birds or Ultraman or something like that. You just Velcro it to the hat, so the hat, it's not entirely Velcro, but the front of it is Velcro. And then you take the patch. I think these are like badges. I think they're calling them badges. And you you take the badge and you just stick it to your hat so you can change your hat out. Whatever your hat is, you can change out the design anytime. And we got some Geekscapes. I picked up 5 hats of Geekscape badges that you can rip off or put back on however you want. And so they're kind of Geekscape hats, but I mean, I don't know. I know that I have one for me and everyone who's going to be working the Geekscape booth this summer. These cool black and green trucker hats. So I'll be wearing one. And I'm meeting with our web guy, Paul, on Wednesday to talk about the website that we're launching. The brand new Geekscape website. And I'll be giving him one of these hats. So technically, there's Geekscape hats. I don't know if I'm totally into them, but who knows? Maybe by the time Comic-Con rolls around, these things will like blown up, and it's what all the kids are into, trading the patches and the badges, and they're putting them on each other's hats, and they're like, ooh, let me get a Geekscape one. And maybe we are on the front of a trend. I don't know. This is freaking Geekscape. We're here because we've never been on a trend ever. We're geeks and we love it. We self-identify as this stuff. So I got to tell you, as I said last week on the podcast, the boys at Horror Movie Night, that's one of our other podcasts, went to see Us, and they put an Us special up last weekend. I don't want to necessarily talk about Us. It's a movie that I really appreciate and think is pretty competent, but I have some thoughts on it. But I do also have, maybe this is a surprise to you, I have a marketing job at Universal. It's a part-time marketing job, and I've had it since, like, just before the podcast, since 2005. And because Us is a Universal film, I do talk about Universal films sometimes here, but I try and pick around them a little bit, and I will just let the Horror Movie Night boys talk about Us, because from talking to them, I think that my feelings about the film are very similar to their feelings about the film. Jordan Peele is incredible and he's super talented. Go listen to that podcast and see what they think. And if you enjoyed Us, awesome. If you didn't enjoy Us, maybe it'll be awesome and cathartic for you to listen to these boys pick through it. And maybe it'll put voice to how you're feeling about the movie. Because I just liked that it was challenging. I liked that whether you love it or hate it or somewhere in the middle, it's a challenging movie. It's got some cool ideas. And you have to wrestle with them. And you have to be like, oh, what is that about? What is that about? And I think at the end of the day, the questions are always more important than the answers. And that is freaking life. I don't know if it's 101, because it took me a long time to get to it. But after being a know-it-all for so long, but realizing my life really wasn't what I wanted it to be, maybe I'm not the guy who should be going around being a know-it-all and ultimately just realize, hey, dude, the questions are always more important than the answers, okay? Having questions is super important. Having answers, do you really want to be at the end of the road? Do you really want to know what the end is? Do you really want to know what what's next? No. You want the questions. That's what drives you. I did go see Dumbo, though. Dumbo is a movie that I almost didn't see. This is Tim Burton's Dumbo with Colin Farrell, and it's got Michael Keaton, Danny DeVito, and Ava Green. And obviously, Dumbo. I love Dumbo. I love the original Dumbo. I think it's such a cool movie. It's like 65 minutes long. It's such a short movie, and it is so sweet and so much fun. And I love the message of you didn't need the magic feather, right? Dumbo's this elephant with the big ears, and he can fly, but he only believes he can fly with this feather. And then in the end, he loses the feather, and he still has to fly. He has to fly now more than ever, and at the end of Dumbo, he learns it was inside him all along. I think it's like The Hobbit. It's such an important message to tell kids, and I love Dumbo so much. Reading the reviews, though, I almost didn't see this movie, because I'm hearing these reviews, and they're very lukewarm, and I'm hearing things like the movie is boring, and the movie is not about Dumbo, but more about the human characters. And there's some credit to that, but I got to tell you, I really, really enjoyed Dumbo. I thought it was a lot of fun. Visually, obviously, you're going to walk into a Tim Burton movie and it's going to just be off the rails. Visual is going to look so great. And some of the green screen stuff definitely affected me. I'm not entirely loving this Disney trend of shooting a lot of stuff on green screen, as we're seeing in like the Jungle Book, although I thought Jon Favreau's Jungle Book was phenomenal. But in the Dumbo stuff early on, the green screen stuff took a little getting used to, because they're in like a field in Georgia or Arkansas somewhere. And I'm like, wait, you couldn't find a field? But there were so many actors, and like, there's just so much going on in those scenes that I understand why they shot a green screen. Like, there are just so many elements getting put together in those scenes. It's really a huge production. I can understand why people thought that the movie centered a lot on the human characters. Dumbo is a quiet elephant. He does not have any dialogue in the movie. That being said, you also can't have talking mice in this more realistic version of Dumbo, the live action version of Dumbo, because obviously the talking mice are in the original movie, and they're the ones who like give him the feather and stuff like that. Those roles are the mice are still in the movie, but they're actual mice. They're not talking, but the job of the mice in communicating with Dumbo, in kind of expressing what a Dumbo is feeling, that responsibility is given to the two child actors who play Colin Farrell's kids, and Colin Farrell comes back from World War One, and he's missing an arm, so he's at a disadvantage in getting his job back with the circus, where he is a stunt rider. Really, the main part of the circus, the big event of the circus, is this guy who's who's a cowboy who rides around lassoing things, and now he's come back from World War One, and he doesn't have one of his arms, and so his he's kind of. They're trying to. Danny DeVito's character, I think, is really well written, and he runs the circus, and he's just trying to figure out how to still utilize this person who really is not a whole like he. It's gonna be a tough gig getting this guy to still be a part of the circus. The animation's incredible on Dumbo. It's really like some tear jerky stuff, especially when Dumbo gets separated from his mom, which is what something that happens in the original happens here. And is the whole impetus for, like, now Dumbo has to kind of go it alone and do all this stuff. Michael Keaton plays a great bad guy, and it is great to see Michael Keaton and Danny DeVito together with Tim Burton. The whole Batman Returns coming back. And man, if they would have just found a way to put Michelle Pfeiffer in the movie, that would have been awesome. I enjoyed it. It's fun. And some of the stuff is very on the nose. You do get hit over the head with a lot of the stuff in the movie. But if I had kids, I think they would really enjoy Dumbo. It was fun, and I felt good watching it. I was like, this is a feel-good movie. After the emotional maelstrom that was last week, I definitely needed some Dumbo and just be like, ah, it's okay to just be happy and have the characters in the movie explain the movie to you. Like, you know, when a character's like, he's looking for his mom. And it's like, yeah, well, the elephant could have told us that in its action, but okay, fine. We'll have a 10-year-old tell us to. I'm okay with that. I was done by Sunday. I needed my handheld. I went with Chasing Fletcher Allen's star and co-writer, Heidi Cox. And I kind of went to the movie with her because when the trailer came out, she couldn't watch the trailer without crying. And I was like, is it cool or is it cruel to go to see this movie with her? Because I kind of want to see the movie because it's Tim Burton. You got to respect it. And I kind of want to see the movie to just see how much she's going to cry through this. Suffice to say, Geekscapists, I was not disappointed by the amount of tears and pain she went through watching that movie. She cried the whole time. It was awesome. So that was Dumbo, and it was fun. I also got to tell you guys, I've been catching up on comics. I've been slowing down a little bit on my comic purchases, which has allowed me to go into reading the thousands and thousands of comics I have not read that I've bought over the last 3 years. I've been reading the Charles Soule. I hope that I pronounced that right. He was a writer on Daredevil before this current renumbering from issue number one that just happened in Marvel. He's written this this kind of run in Daredevil where Daredevil had like a black costume with like red pieces to it, and he took on an understudy named Blindspot, who's this Asian character who's like undocumented. He's an undocumented immigrant there in Chinatown in New York, and he's developed this suit Blindspot has where he can go invisible, and so Daredevil's kind of showing him the ropes on like becoming vigilante there in New York City, and it's really good. And then Wilson Fisk, the kingpin of crime, becomes mayor and starts outlawing, you know, superheroes and this and that and vigilantes in New York, and kind of he starts to put together like almost a cabinet, right, like a mayoral cabinet of like the Owl and Tombstone and all these bad guys from, you know, the similar street level Marvel universe there in New York. So I got to tell you, Charles Soule he's doing a Trump metaphor with this stuff. Like, from having Blindspot being an undocumented immigrant who is out there being a vigilante trying to protect Chinatown and his neighborhood, knowing that if he was ever caught by the police, he could get deported back to China. You know, it obviously mirrors what's going on here with our southern border when Trump, you know, went into office and started shutting down the airports and saying that immigrants from certain countries couldn't come in and seek, either asylum or immigrate here, or even visit family here, or even, I don't know, go to college here. Some of these kids were like trying to return to college after going overseas to visit their families for the holidays. They came back and they couldn't even go back to school. So things like shutting down the airports and stuff like that is, and then up to the point where Wilson Fisk has become mayor. Because he's going to go after these vigilantes. It really, really, really reflects the whole Trump going after people. I'm going to go after these people. I'm going to stoke up the xenophobia or the homophobia and all this stuff, and I'm going to go after these people, and I'm going to build a wall and all this stuff. And that's kind of what Wilson Fisk used to become mayor of New York City. And now Matt Murdock looks up, and he's Daredevil, and he's Matt Murdock, and Wilson Fisk is mayor, and it's a pretty good run. I'm pretty happy catching up with it. It's a really good comic, and like I said earlier, like as a superhero book, it's doing a pretty good job of commenting on what's going on in the world today and giving me a little bit of a prism to it, or maybe just catharsis. Because damn, at this point, I just want catharsis. I just want some kind of like release from the distraction algorithm horror show that I'm seeing every day. And I'm getting it here with my Daredevil comic. So that's what I've been up to, Geekscapists. I think this is a little bit of a shorter Geekscape, but I don't have anybody to interview. And I just kind of wanted to talk to you one-on-one. I wanted it to just be us and whoever else is listening in your car at home or at your work. Just kind of wanted to do a little bit of a State of the Union. Again, thank you guys for listening all these years. I can't wait to bring you guys a Shazam special next week and sit down and talk some Hellboy. I'm really looking forward to Hellboy. I think there'll be a Hellboy special too. We're going to be cranking out the podcast. If this wasn't enough for you, we got tons of other podcasts here on the network. We got some really cool stuff. Go ahead and subscribe to anything that says Geekscape on it, and I guarantee you, it'll be pretty damn good. I kind of talked about what's coming up, but what I would like for you guys to do right now, while you're still listening to my voice, is get on your little podcatcher, whichever you're using. Maybe go over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and tell people why they should be listening to Geekscape. And then I probably want you to go back to your podcasting app, and I want you to hit that little share button, and I want you to share Geekscape on your social media platforms. Or email it to your friends, or text it to your friends and be like, hey, maybe pick out one of your favorite episodes. Maybe it is the Captain Marvel special, or the Spider-Verse special, or one of the episodes or interviews that we've done over the last year. I love the Dean Devlin episode from a year ago. That was so cool. I love talking geeky stuff with other people. Go there, hit that little share button right now. While I'm talking to you, do it right now. And just share it with your friends. Because you know what? We're not stopping this anytime soon. This is going to keep going. And we're a community. And I want to give a shout out to the unnamed person who sent me that message a couple days ago. And just say, hey, that's proof right there that what we're doing is working. And it doesn't have to work for everyone. Because we're geeks. And it's never going to be popular. I mean, I know you it's like the Avengers and stuff are movie theaters and stuff like that. But you know what? We're still like, we're not the jocks. That's just never going to be us. But it's not for them. It's for you. And you. And so this is our community. Let's grow it a little bit. Just share this with your friends. Tell them this is about connection. It's about not hating, but creating. And it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to go and create art. You can go and create just a moment. You could go and create a relationship. Like sitting there with my friend on Friday, playing a little Let's Go Pokemon on the Switch. It's about just making somebody's day a little bit better. Because we're stuck on this molten, spinning rock, flying through vacuum. Everything in the cosmos is designed to kill us. We should not exist, but we do exist. We exist together. We're stuck in this together. And so let's be there for each other. Let's be here together. So keep sharing. I can only affect what's in the immediacy, and that's Geekscape. So thank you for listening to my voice. I'm Jonathan. Follow me on the socials that you want to, and obviously follow Geekscape wherever you want. And I will share that Watchmen episode whenever it comes up. Yeah. All right, Geekscapers, I'm going to go watch some basketball because it makes me feel good.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.